Well, let us hear from our own verse 23.
Let us all unwaveringly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
Okay, read verse 26.
If we deliberately keep on shining after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sin is left.
Okay, could somebody read that for me from the King James? I like how whatever version Brother Cunningham is using, but the King James also.
Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the approaching. For if we sin willfully.
I bring your attention to. Okay, when verse 25 is read, it is a command in the negative. Usually, command tells you what to do. In this case, the command in 25 tells us what we must not stay away from the assembly. Amen. We must not forsake the assembly. Keep this in mind. Keep that in mind against the background that when you read the book of Acts, Christians didn't meet once or twice per week. It was daily. And if you don't believe me, go and read Acts. The Christian in the first century, every opportunity they got, they assembled together. Notice this too, that when the Bible speaks about fellowship, part of the fellowship that the Bible emphasizes
met daily. It is against that background that Christians were encouraged not to forsake their coming together, their assembling together. There's something else that is quite striking in the verse. It encouraged the Christian in that same verse, don't take the bad example of those Christians who don't meet for worship. Listen it again. Listen verse 25. You get the point? The inspired writer of Hebrew could simply state, don't stay away from worship and leave it there. But the inspired writer felt an obligation to remind the Christian not to take the bad example of Christians who, when they're ready, they forsake the assembling of themselves together. But there's something else there. Read on. As you see the day approaching. Look here now, read. Wait, you see, that far, that far is taking you back to verse 25. For if we sin willfully, the willful sin is directly connected to forsaking the assembling of yourself together. Be mindful of that. The willful sin in verse 26. That's why far, that's what the far is all about. The word far is telling you, I'm still on the point. What I'm talking about here in 26 is connected to what I have just said. So it's not just simple, not forsaking the assembling of yourself together. What he's saying, that when we do that, we sin willfully. That's right. Now, mark you, Christians, in many cases, have legitimate reason they couldn't be in service. It's not talking about those situations. It's talk about Christians who just don't have respect for the church, for worship, and things like that. Now, so I want to, but let me not. I want to bring in some other passages relating to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. There's a passage, I think, is in Timothy or Thessalonians, which also speak about that Timothy should mark them which walketh disorderly. In a tract Guy Kiaski wrote, he tied that statement directly to worship. That's right. That's right. Brother Guy Kiaski was one of probably, well, not the first director of the Jamaica School of Preaching. And in that tract which I have, he point out that the passage, mark them which walketh disorderly among you, and in effect the passage is saying don't have any fellowship with them. He points out that that has direct implication for Christians who were not meeting regularly with other Christians. But probably as time goes on, not in this lesson, I'll say more on that point. There are some things to be covered here. Now, sin in both Old and New Testament, offense, in both Old and New Testament, we find where it was God's requirement that sin, which if left be formed, are set a wrong example, that those sins should always be acknowledged or be confessed. So the business of acknowledging one's sin or confessing one's sin, it's not just New Testament. Let me give you a few passages. Run to the passage of Joshua 7, verse 19 through 21. Psalms 32, verse 5. Let us hear those two passages. I could ask that Psalms 51, one of the great passages in the Old Testament on the acknowledgement of sin. But let us hear Joshua 7, 19 through 21, and Psalms 32, verse 5. And Joshua said unto Achan,
My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord of Israel.
And wait, you know, these old time leaders in God business, they were something else. Joshua is about to command the Israelite to stone the man to death. And you notice how nice he is. My son, give glory to God. Man, you're going to have the man stoned to death. You are the leader. And you nice him up like that? My son. Read on, brother.
Give glory unto the Lord of Israel.
Give glory unto the Lord of Israel. Should I give you the background to this? It's a well-known situation. They had gone to fight against the enemy, the Israelite. And when Achan saw the gold and the silver and the material things, now these were, in this situation, considered accursed things. They were not supposed, the Israelites were not supposed to take anything. But Achan just couldn't resist. Not only that, he stole it. He hid it in his tent. Well, Joshua used the principle God gave him to ascertain who was it. Because they have lost one or two battle because of that. So it is this now that Joshua confront Achan and says, give glory to God. Read, brother.
And make confession unto him.
Make confession unto God. You remember why we are here? Just to share just a few Old Testament passages to show that confession, what confession means is that you acknowledge your sin. There are sins we commit in thoughts, in words, in attitude, etc. That sometimes it's between us and God. Mm-hmm. Well, we must still acknowledge those sins. But we acknowledge those sin that is between us and God privately. But the sin that set a wrong example, sin which if left as is, it will give men and women another Christian the idea that that is okay with God. That is a part of God's plan for us. God cannot afford that. And that's why we are to acknowledge those sins which are of public knowledge. This one was, read on, brother.
And tell me now what thou hast done.
Remember, he just told him to confess and tell him what he has done. Read on.
Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel.
That's right. Indeed, truly, I have sinned. You know one of the great things here? I'll be touching on a point here, very important point. Is that he recognized that it was against God that he sinned. While it affected the Israelites and while our sin affect the church, but it's against God that we sin. Read.
And thus And thus have I done.
So he gave him the tale. What verse are you, brother?
21.
Okay, I would ask that you go further, but you can read the whole text. Remember, the brother read from Joshua chapter 7. Let us go to another Old Testament passage. And don't forget why we're here, to show that acknowledgement or confession of one's sin is both Old and New Testament. It's not a new thing came with the gospel. Because the Almighty God wants us to always acknowledge our fault, our sin in His sight. Psalms 32, verse 5.
Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover my iniquity.
You hear, I acknowledge my sin. I did not cover my iniquity. Above all, don't ever try to cover your sin in reference to the Almighty God.
Amen.
Let's run through a few New Testament passages. Matthew chapter 3, verse 6. Please, verse 5. Start again and finish. That is Psalms 32, verse 5. When I take on the half of it, give us right. Everything.
Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord.
Confession or my sin to the Lord.
And you forgave the guilt of my sin.
And God does what?
Forgave the guilt of my sin.
May I, and I'm running ahead of myself here because it's a point I want to make, that in so many cases, the very thing that God expects us and commands us to do to bring about our spiritual health is the very thing we do everything avoid doing. That's not good. Lot of time because of pride. Many persons don't want to do the simple thing that God expects and commands us to do, to acknowledge that we have sinned, we have done wrong, we have gone contrary to His word, to His directive. Many times people we do everything to come up with excuse. That's not good. And we need to get over to brothers and sisters. That's not good. Pride goes before destruction. A haughty feeling before a fall. Verse 5, finish.
Yes.
Okay, let us now turn to Matthew 3, 6.
And were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins.
May I? Prospective convert under the gospel are asked by Christ for them to confess Christ's name. Prospective convert under the transition which John represents. John represents the median between the Old Testament and the New Testament. John's ministry meant that the Old Testament was on its way out. That administration, that dispensation. John ministry that the New Testament was always most here. So this, in John's ministry, represent a transition. But during John's ministry, people were not asked to confess Christ's name. They were asked to confess their sin. Read the passage again.
And were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins.
That's right. So here, confession, acknowledgement of sin. Because forgiveness would not really mean anything to us if we do not realize that God has done something wonderful for us in forgiving. Let us look at James chapter 5, 14 through 16. Another brother turned to 1 John chapter 1. James chapter 5, verse 14 through 16.
Is anyone among you sick?
Mm-hmm.
Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well.
The prayer of faith will make the sick get better. Wait. Not only the prayer of faith then. The Christian prayer of faith today still bring about result.
Amen.
Read on.
The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven.
If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Read.
Amen. Therefore, confess your sins to each other.
Mm-hmm. You notice how it tie, if they have sinned, he will forgive them. And you notice what is known as a conjunctive adverb. Therefore,
confess your sin to each other.
It is tying the confession of sin to the forgiveness just stated that God will give.
Amen.
Therefore, confess your sin one to
another. And pray for each other. So that you may be healed.
What verse is that?
16. Not finished.
Read.
The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective.
Here, prayer of the righteous is effective. That was James chapter 5, 14 through 16.
Yes.
Let us turn to 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 through 10.
But if we walk
just a minute. Remember, all this business about acknowledgement and confession of sin is against the background stated, the truth of which stated by Solomon umpteen years before the New Testament, that the person who cover his sin shall not prosper. The more we bring our sin to God, it's the more willing God is to forgive us. Self-righteousness is anti-God. As one person said, I am as good as God and I'm getting better. Many of us, that's the way we feel, that we have never sinned. We do sin. And we sin, especially, you know, this morning I show one of the vast difference between David and Jonah. And that difference was David's knowledge, recognizing that wherever he goes, he couldn't hide from God. Jonah lacked that knowledge. Well, so it is. Knowledge plays a very important part in our lives today. Knowledge of God, His nature, His will, the church, how it was meant to function. Try not to remain in ignorance. And don't tell yourself how long you have been in the church. Because a lot of times, there are many who have been in the church for umpteen years, but they do not know any truth. Truly. Yes, get back to First John chapter 1, 7 through 10.
But if we walk in the light,
mm-hmm.
as he is in the light.
If we walk in the light as he is in the light.
We have fellowship one with another.
You see, brothers and sisters, this fellowship one with another is very important. When we meet with each other in worship, that's part of the fellowship of which the Bible is speaking here. But if we have fellowship one with another.
And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin.
You know that's one of the great blessings. Watch here. The blood of Jesus Christ. Cleanse it. T-I-N-O-U-S. Mm-hmm. This is present continuous tense. That's what the term means, cleanse it. It means the blood of Jesus Christ continues. Let me hear it from your version, brother. I'm not sure.
But, seven. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sins.
Here again, it used the present indicative verb there. Purifies, that's present.
Yeah.
The King James, I think, says cleanse it, which means continues to cleanse us. May I? When you and I live as perfectly as we can, we still need cleansing. Everybody, wait, get me. We are not talking about Christians who just do what they want, live just any ungodly life. That's not. I'm talking the brothers and sisters, the men and women who live close to God daily, hourly, minutely. They still need cleansing. That's right. That's why Christians live repentant lives. Read, brother.
If we confess our sin, if we claim to be without sin, we deceived ourselves.
Everybody hear that? Somebody didn't hear that, brother. So you need to read it again.
If we claim to be without sin.
If we claim that we don't sin, we have no sin, we don't offend God.
Mm-hmm. We deceived ourselves.
That's self-deception.
And the truth
of God or of Christ is not in us. Read.
If we confess our sin.
If we confess. Notice the conditionality. If. John, suppose we don't confess our sin, then dog eat your supper. If we confess our sin.
If we confess our sins, uh-huh. He is faithful.
He is faithful.
And just.
And he's just.
And will forgive us.
And will forgive us.
And purify us from
all. And purifies us. What verse is that?
All unrighteous. Same nine.
Read 10.
If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar.
You notice, brothers and sisters, the ways we can sin? Even with our self-righteous attitude, feel, I know I don't offend God.
Right.
You are sinning in serious ways.
Amen.
Because you are saying God don't know him, I say.
Amen.
That's why humility is so important.
Amen.
Okay. So we are seeing that acknowledging sin has always been part of God's requirement for man. Simply because we do sin in ignorance, impulse, weakness, and whatever. But God wants us to acknowledge our sin and take it to Him.
Amen.
Now, notice this. Acknowledgement of our confessing one's sin is not a case or simply, okay, since God, that's what you ask, I'll do it. May not see any sin, but I'll do it. That's not it. Neither is it to when I sin against a brother or a sister, say something wrong to that person, take something from that person that belongs to me, cuss off that person or whatever. In whatever form I sin against my brother or sister. Now, mark you, I sin against God too at the same time. It is not a case where you or I must interpret it to meaning, well, me say some hard things, but me not see where me sin, but since that's what you want, me fi do, me will do it. No! When, if you approach acknowledging your sin like that, you are worse in God's sight. Not only that, we must never give member the idea that all we are asking them to do is, well, since the church wants you to do that, just do it now. No! To have our sins dealt with effectively, one of the first things is that we ourselves must, within ourselves, acknowledge that we have sinned. Wait. Before we acknowledge our sin to God, we must acknowledge it to ourselves. Never forget that. Don't go to God saying in your mind, well, I know I have lived right before God. I don't see where I sin, but since the men at the church say I must acknowledge it, I'll acknowledge it. But no. Don't ever acknowledge that you have offended someone or God simply to please the brother, the church, or whatever. You must first, within your own self, acknowledge that you have done wrong. It's only then that the Almighty God will move to forgive you. So it must never be a case where we just do it. Well, I'll do it to please, and since that's what they require. No. And we must get over to members that you must acknowledge to God. If you want a brother or sister sit with you and show you what is under consideration, then we will. It's not a matter you just say this because the church asks for it. No, you must within yourself acknowledge that you have gone contrary to God's will. You have done something contrary to the gospel. You have done something contrary to the will and to the word of God. That's where that comes in first, before anything else. Even before you confess to God, you must acknowledge the sin to yourself. There must be inner acknowledgement that you have wronged God or you have wronged your brother or sister. As I've said before, that in so many things, the very thing that God requires for spiritual healing is the very thing we run from and try to find excuse to avoid. I want to look at when individual Christians sometimes have problems and issues between themselves. This is addressed in Matthew 18. We will come back to that. I just want to. May I? In saying all of that, be mindful that we are expected by the Almighty God to personally acknowledge and confess our sin. I need to repeat that. We are expected by the Almighty God. Remember, we are running with you from Old Testament, the business of acknowledging our sin, our wrong, be it against one another, against God, or whatever. It's not just a New Testament thing. And then we can understand why. Or if I didn't deal with the why, let me just drop a sentence right here now and that. Why do we need to acknowledge our sin? Among the reasons, one obvious reason why we always need to acknowledge our sin is that the Almighty God never wants the offense, the wrongdoing, the sin of any of his children, for that wrongdoing to be passed on as acceptable to God and as part of God's way of doing things. God never wants that. Because in that way, we would be misrepresenting God with our sin. If when you or I do wrong, we just let it galanzo, then the person around who knows that that is wrong, the message we would be giving if the person doesn't acknowledge that that was wrong is we would be telling the person, in effect, my behavior or my word or my attitude, which is so devilish, is acceptable to God. It's a part of Christianity. That's the message. God never wants us to give that, to tell that lie. Because our wrong conduct, words, attitude, disposition, or whatever, it does not represent the will of God. When you or I slip up and it becomes public knowledge and we acknowledge that it is wrong, I have done wrong, then we are saying to all those who know what I have said, what I have done, or my attitude, whatever, we are saying to them, what I have done is not God's will. But when we just let it go so, we are setting a wildfire. God doesn't want that. That's why it's so important that sin be acknowledged. But watch here. Acknowledgement, as we have seen throughout, was always personal and not by proxy. You know, I was reviewing the Lord's church is strong in many parts of the world. The Church of Christ is quite strong in places like Nigeria, quite strong. And when I say strong, you have congregation there with large numbers of, we have many preaching schools in Nigeria. When I went to college, one of my roommates was from, twice I have roommate from Nigeria. As we all know, there are many states in the U.S. where the Church of Christ is very strong. I'm not going to begin to name the many places in the U.S. where I've done gospel meetings. And there are many places. But I was thinking, have I ever gone anywhere and see acknowledgement of sin by proxy? I can't recall ever. Many congregations don't do it like we do it, because there are many congregations where 3-4 people may step forward, and they are Christian. They step forward to acknowledge their sin. Some may step forward to seek for prayer. What some congregations do is give the person or person stepping forward the mic for the person to make the confession for him or herself. I know of a large congregation, a congregation that I deal with a lot over there, that the only problem we find with that is whereby there are many cases, and they are cutting down on that method now, because over the years it has created too many problems, where a person step forward, the mic is given to them just to make their confession or to make their request. And my God, in fact, this is another congregation where Brother Nesbitt is one of the elders, a good friend of mine. On one occasion, he had to call out to those who control the public address system, cut off the mic, cut off the mic. Because the sister stepped forward, says she has a request. They have the practice where they let the person make the confession and hand the mic. And she wanted to embarrass her husband. That's right. In fact, I don't believe that congregation. I almost tell you what congregation. Well, I tell you about Brother Nesbitt. It's the Northwest congregation. They were the one who saw us through with all this buying the property and what. My God, they have their domestic thing at home for you to bring it to the church just to embarrass him. Brother Nesbitt had to call to them, cut off the mic. That's right. I'm not sure if they do it like that anymore at the Northwest. I know of this large congregation I was telling you we're. Over the years, people have played havoc with, instead of doing what they claim they come up to do. My God. So what I'm saying, different congregation of there, but for people to have reason, genuine reason to acknowledge their sin and to write a little note and send up, that is doing it by proxy. The prodigal son, from all indication, was literate. He could write. But he didn't feel that he would be doing justice to his condition, showing respect to his father and his brother, writing a note saying, "Daddy, sorry to have taken away so much of your money and get on my own and spend it in sport and nightclub." No. He went in person. And nobody had to ask him to confess. So the business here, as I've said, men and women, the very thing that Jesus Christ expects of us is the very thing we find excuse and reason not to do. When what Jesus Christ requires is for our spiritual health. Confession. May I make also a distinction here? There's a difference between the brother and our sister who has a personal request. They are not necessarily coming up to acknowledge anything. They are coming up to ask a prayer. They might be facing some challenge. You and I don't know what it is, and we don't have to know. And they seek the need, the help, and the support of fellow Christians. That person can deal with it any way they want. Once it is in the proper order, they can send up a note asking the church to pray for them. They can step forward asking the church to pray about some challenges. That can be done like that, with a note or whatever. But now for the brother or sister who has an obligation to acknowledge sin, doing it by proxy, there's nowhere in the Bible that indicate that that is acceptable to God. And many Christians would want to do that way simply to avoid the very thing that God wants them to do, personally acknowledge their sin, personally. Not by proxy. And it is pride. Huh? Pride is not a good thing, you know. James 4:6. 1 Peter 5:5. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Again, the prodigal son didn't attempt to do it by proxy. According to Luke chapter 15, 17 following, it says that when he came to himself, when he becomes seen again, and what that passage implied, that in his backsliding state, abandoning his father's home, his father's principle, the Bible gives the idea that he was crazy. When he saw the need after he was brought down to the hog pen of sin, and he said, "I will arise and I will go to my father." And he decided before he started the journey that he's going to go home and just acknowledge where he went wrong. That is the attitude. That when our offense to God our man, when our sins against God our man become known, become public, known. It's not that privately I thought something or I said something or did something where I can take it to God, but this is known. We are expected by God to acknowledge it to the church. So that bad example in my wrong thoughts or words or action is not left as an example of what Christianity is. Let us not also minimize the sin of being absent from the worship. Forsake not the assembling of yourself. Well, let me put it in modern English. Don't stay away from the assembly, from church. And then it went on to say, for if we sin willfully, where's the willful sin? By staying away from the assembly. Other passage, I want to also deal with where Paul hinted in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. When the Christians were taking the communion, showing no regard for what it was about. And he asked the question, is it that you have no respect for the church? Why is it that we treat the church so, and we show our workplace all the reverence? Why the things of God we treat so lightly?